because she had an intense desire. So, but a devotee not only is approaching Krishna, but approaching Krishna in a favorable way. So just imagine the position of a devotee. But we have to have that desire. We have to want Krishna more than anything else. When you want Krishna more than anything else, then you can get Krishna. If you want something else and Krishna, then in proportion you'll get Krishna, or whatever little bit of Krishna consciousness is there. But you'll never be satisfied until you can completely absorb yourself in Krishna, because ultimately that is the soul's nature. The soul is completely satisfied only with Krishna. And anything else we experience in our existence when we are Krishna conscious is so wonderful. Our relationships with our husband, our wife, our families, our friend, and society in general, and people in general, are spiritualized. They are of the same quality as our relationship with Krishna. Because when Krishna is there, then everything is nice. Prahlad Maharaj is saying, for me there's no misery. I see the whole world as Vaikuntha. Prahlad Maharaj was completely happy and satisfied. He was seeing everything as Vaikuntha, because he was in Vaikuntha simply by his absorption in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is Krishna consciousness. That we absorb ourselves more and more in Krishna and somehow or other try to surrender. That should be our mindset. We should not be happy with simply going on in our spiritual life, doing our service day to day. We should try to surrender more. A devotee is always thinking, how can I surrender more? How can I increase my quality and my quantity of my devotion to the Lord? And by that desire, we attract the mercy of Krishna. And through that desire, Krishna's mercy comes in the form of the facility to increase one's devotion. Krishna gives you the facility. Sometimes it's explained that I've known devotees. Sometimes they experiment. They say to Krishna, my dear Lord, I'm going to surrender everything for you today. I am willing to do whatever you want. I'm yours. I'm completely, just take me 100% completely. And what happens in a few days? Krishna starts doing all kinds of things, and then they have to say, wait a minute, Krishna, not so fast. I wasn't really wanting to surrender that much. Because Krishna will do that, whatever your desire is. If you want completely, he'll give you the facility to surrender everything, if you're ready. But we should try to at least every day surrender more and more. That means whatever service we can do, we should try to do that in a nice way and in a pleasing way, and try to increase our service, increase the quality of our service. And that way we'll always be happy. When the mind is engaged, Savai Mana Krishna Pavara Vindayo, when the mind is absorbed in Krishna, then it has no time for Maya. Maya is there as long as we give her attention. But if we forget Maya, and absorb ourselves in devotional service, then we can forget it. Then Maya has no effect on us. There's that one story where, I think I've told this a few times before, but it illustrates a nice point. Srila Prabhupada, His Divine Grace, was giving a Pando program in Delhi. And many big leaders from various government offices were there. And after the end of the program, one of the head ministers, he came, very highly placed person in the Indian government, and he did a full dandavats, obeisances at the lotus feet of Prabhupada, flat on the floor, with his arms stretched, grabbing Prabhupada's feet. And the devotees there were quite amazed and shocked to see such a big man being so humble. So they said, they asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, what is it, what is that quality in you and that forces people to act in such a way? Prabhupada said, it is because I have no lust. And then he turned around and left. He got in his car, and the devotees were thinking, wow, we're just so lusty. So Prabhupada was riding in his car back to the hotel, and some of the same devotees were there. And there it was quite quiet in the car. Everyone was just chanting japa. Sometimes Prabhupada would carry on conversations, but this time everyone was just chanting. So devotees were still thinking what Prabhupada said. I have no lust. So finally, Prabhupada could detect that the devotees were really concerned about his response. So when he got to the hotel, Prabhupada got out of the car, and he turned around, he looked at the devotees, and he said, it's not because I have no lust, it's because I have no time. In other words, no time for Maya. If we don't give Maya any time, then you're fully Krishna conscious. The problem is we give Maya time. We have to stop giving Maya time, give Krishna all our time. And that is the process of surrendering to Krishna more and more. Okay, so I'll stop there. Any comments or questions on anything? Yes, Murari Chaitanya.
When you said we have no time, does that mean that you still think about it, but that's not how it begins to
The question was.
The question is, does that mean when you say that the answer to that question is, I have no time for lust? Does that mean then?
No time for Maya, he was saying.
Because some, you can think about it. I mean, Maya, well, the thoughts will come to you. Sometimes you have no time for lust.
Yeah, thoughts are there.
That's not really in mind.
Well,
right.
As long as we are in this material body, and as long as we're in Kali Yuga, we're going to be attacked on the mental platform with thoughts that are not very pleasing. Unless you're a perfectly purified devotee, still you'll be affected to some degree. But what do? You don't pay attention to those thoughts. You put Krishna in your mind as soon as that happens. If you give Maya time, then she'll take more. We just don't have any time for Maya, that's all. That means when it comes in our mind, we don't have any time to think about these things. And we push them out. If you don't kill that thought, that thought will kill your spiritual life. You have to kill that thought. We shouldn't allow these thoughts to stay in the mind. The fact that they're coming is natural, but the fact that we allow them to stay is our choice. We can push them out, that's all. Hare Krishna. They're gone. Put Krishna in your mind. Hare Krishna. The thing is, when you dwell on the thoughts, what happens? They get bigger. If you feed a thought, the thought grows. Anything, any thought will grow. The process of the mind is thinking, feeling, and willing. So, think about something. As you think about it, you get a feeling for that. And as the feeling grows, then the desire to carry out, act on that feeling also becomes stronger and stronger. And finally you do it. So that's the stage. Jayate visayam pum sampum tatesu sangatsan jayate. Sangatsan jayate kama. Kama krodha bijayate. Krodha bhavati sammoham. Sammoham sriti vibrahma. Sriti brahmasa buddhinasa buddhinasa panashati. By contemplating the object of the senses, one develops attachment from them. From that attachment, lust arises. And from lust, anger. From anger, delusion. From delusion, bewilderment of memory. When memory becomes bewildered, intelligence is lost. And when intelligence is lost, one falls down again into the material pool. A from Bhagavad Gita. So simply by contemplating, ultimately we can go to the point of fall down. So stop the contemplation as soon as it arises. And as soon as you do that, then you can stop the process. And the same thing, also, you contemplate Krishna, you get a feeling for Krishna, and that thought inspires you to serve Krishna more and more. So, it's up to us. So we have to be very diligent to not allow negative thoughts to stay on our mind. We have to push them out. It's not being hypocritical. Some people say, oh, I feel like that, therefore I should be true to my feelings. I should be true to the illusion. But why be true to the illusion when the illusion is what it is? Illusion. It's because we've been in illusion so long, we think the illusion is the reality. And when the illusion appears, we think, oh, it's natural. But it's not. The soul has all good qualities. The soul has all natural inclinations towards God. So those are the realities. The negativity that we experience are just part of our conditioned nature. So when we experience that, push it out. Don't allow it to stay there. So, okay? Spiritual psychologist. Don't let Maya, if you give Maya an inch, she'll take a yard. If you give her a yard, she'll take 3 yards. Give her 3 yards, she'll take a mile. Give her a mile, she'll take 100 miles. The more you give Maya, the more she grows. And you have to cut it out. So, Hare Krishna. Okay, any other questions, comments? Yes. I'm sorry, my hearing is a little bad today. You have to speak. Can you repeat that for me? I couldn't hear the whole thing. What is sense gratification for the devotee? Oh, that's explained. Prabhupada talks about you have ears, you hear the sound vibration of Krishna's holy name and the glorification of Krishna. You have eyes, you see the beautiful form of the deity. You have nose, you smell the nice incense, tulsi leaves, Krishna prasad. You have legs, you use them to serve the Lord. You have hands, you use them to wash the temple or do the cooking. All your senses be used, engaged in Krishna's service. And then there's no question of stopping the senses. The senses have to be used. You can't stop them. They have to be used. The impersonalists, the mayavadis, they artificially try to stop their senses from material activities. And they perform a penances and austerities, and ultimately they become so hard-hearted. Thing is, the senses are there, just like, you know, we're speaking about the glories of the Lord. We're speaking about the philosophy of devotional life. That's the use of the tongue, to speak. It's also to taste Krishna prasadam. Don't eat nonsense food. Don't eat food that's not offered to Krishna. Eat Krishna prasad. Don't become enamored by the forms of this material world. Look at the beautiful form of Krishna. So many things. And when you do see the forms of this world, try to see Krishna within the form. Krishna is in the heart of all living entities. So you see the forms of the things of this world, see them in relationship to Krishna. Prabhupada says, just like when you see my glasses, he says, what do you think of? You think, oh, this is Prabhupada's glasses. When you see my shoes, you think, oh, this is Prabhupada's shoes. So So when we see things in this world, we say, this is Krishna's microphone, this is Krishna's floor, that's Krishna's devotee, Krishna and whatever object. Everything is in Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna. Everything is meant for Krishna's service. So you see the things in relationship to Krishna. That's seeing spiritually. You hear, we can hear, all the senses. So Vaipunsa, what is it? I just mentioned that verse. Each of the devotees of the Lord have perfected a particular form. But Ambarish Maharaj uses all his senses in the service of the Lord. So by Kuntan Kunarna Vandanam. So there's no question of stopping the senses, just using the senses in the service of the Lord. Prabhupada says senses are serpents or servants. A serpent is one who assists you and a serpent is one who bites you. So the servant's senses are used for sense gratification. They bite. They are poisonous. If you use them for devotional life, they're servants. They assist us. Us means the soul. That's all. Serpents are servants. We don't want to associate with serpents. Okay, anything else? Any other comments or questions? Okay, and thank you very much for your kind attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Parajakacharya Asta Tarasita Sri Sriman His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Sri Rajgrantha Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Sri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Sri Harinam Prabhu Ki Sri Sri Nithai Gaura Chandra Ki Sri Sri Kishori ki, Jagannath Baladev Lady Subhadra ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki, Gaura Prema Anandi, glories to the Asambhu devotees, all glories to the Asambhu devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. So we continue with our reading on Srila Prabhupada's letters, Shikshamrita. This is BBT Press. A few more pages on this topic here. So, continuation with this Prabhupada speaking on the Bhaktivedanta Trust and the press specifically. See, these are all letters that Srila Prabhupada wrote to various devotees. This is to Pradyumna, 27th November 1969.
The next point is centralization of our publication department in one place. So that statement was the italicized. Each one of these letters has a little small section that's italicized, which emphasizes the point of the topic of the letter. So that particular statement was the italicized one in that letter. The next point is centralization of our publication department in one press. Krishna has given us now a nice press in Boston, and you are now free from your job. So it'll be very nice if you and your wife move to Boston conveniently. As you have written to Brahmananda, he has almost agreed to pay for the machine. So you have no
anxiety. We have already discussed about purchasing another machine. So far as Shyamadasi is concerned, I do not know how it is possible for her to live alone without her husband. I think her husband also requires her help in so many ways. So I'm not very much sure about Shyamadasi's moving to Boston. But you and Arundhati can do it immediately. I am also going there, so we shall sit down together and call also Hayagriva and Shyamadasi to hold a nice meeting of all the editors, printers, etc. We shall chalk out a nice program so that our work may go on very smoothly without any impediments. And surely Krishna will help us. So far as I am concerned, I would be very much glad to stay with all the editors and press workers in my presence. But the only consideration is the climatic influence. Boston's cold, and it's on the ocean. So this next letter's two lines, and this is the whole thing is the italicized. It's to Brahmananda. It's the 20th of April, 1970. So there's a gap of approximately 5 months before Prabhupada dealt with this topic again. This ISKCON press insignia is very appropriately drawn. It bears the real meaning of mridanga, the oar press, and mridanga are two parallel lines. So the mridanga is signified by two parallel lines. Srila Prabhupada named the press the Brihat Mridanga. Actually, it was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati coined that phrase, that if you have a mridanga, when you beat the sound, it can be heard within a certain range. But if you have the press, then that can go everywhere. So that sound vibration is called the Brihat Mridanga, the great mridanga, or the mridanga that can go everywhere. Next letter is to Advaitam, the June 18, 1970. I beg to acknowledge receipt of your letter dated 16th June 1970, along with two copies of Nectar Devotion. Yes, it is made very excellent. At least I can safely say that there is 80% perfection. That means we can very much hope that books printed from your press will be 100% successful, as we are expecting to get from Dai Nippon. In some of the pages, the ink impression is not sufficient. Otherwise, it appears everything is very nice. The paper is first class. The sewing is also nice. And I hope the cover binding will be nice when it is done professionally. The pictures have also come out very excellent. So everything is very hopeful. You are trying your best, and Krishna will give you the intelligence to execute these press responsibilities. All of you in the press are doing so hard work. I can simply pray to Krishna for your perfect advancement in Krishna consciousness. One thing I must inform you in this connection, that so far our activities in Krishna consciousness are concerned, every one of us should read this book very attentively, because all conclusive statements in the kingdom of bhakti are contained in this transcendental valuable literature. It is the essence of all Vedic scriptures, enlightening about Krishna consciousness. If anyone will read this nectar of devotion very carefully, he will have all guidance in the bhakti cult. So, in the temple class, some portion of this book must be regularly discussed. Interesting. That's Prabhupada is explaining the importance of reading Nectar of Devotion. So I can't help but comment on this statement, because I was fortunate to have the service when I first came into Krishna consciousness to read during the prasadam. When we began our... There was the principle of that during prasadam, everyone would sit down in rows and devotees would serve. Someone would read. And everyone would be attentively hearing the reading during the prasadam. So for months and months and months, I had the service of reading to the devotees every day. And the book was Nectar of Devotion. So I was able to read it 5 times consecutively. And I really got an attraction for this particular literature, because Srila Prabhupada says that this Nectar of Devotion, it's the handbook of Krishna consciousness. Handbook means that how to execute Krishna consciousness is very nicely outlined in Nectar Devotion. If we want to learn how to perform devotional service, we have to read and study that book. That's the science. Just like if you have a machine, you get a manual with the machine on how it operates, so you can understand. So you read the manual and you understand the intricacies of how the machine works. So in the same way, this bhakti is a science, and that science is very elaborately explained in Nectar Devotion. And also, as Srila Prabhupada explained, that as Krishna is non-different than Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar Devotion is non-different than Srimati Radharani. Being the personification of devotion, she has incarnated herself in this literature known as Nectar Devotion, coming from the lotus-like lips of Srila Rupa Goswami, who is the foremost of all the authorities on Krishna consciousness. So it's nicely explained in Nectar Devotion. So we would humbly beg all devotees to read that book if you haven't. And if you have, try to go over it and study it, because it teaches everything you need to know about devotional service. Okay, one more. This is to Uddhava, the 22nd of June, 1970. I'm so happy that our ISKCON Press is now producing several literatures consecutively, like Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter by chapter. So now I'm enlivened to write more and more. Thank you very much. End of letter. So Prabhupada is showing how a advanced devotee serves. Is that in the sense that, or the spiritual master, when the spiritual master gives instructions or gives service to the devotees, and the devotees take up the service very seriously, and that enlivens the spiritual master to serve more and to reciprocate more with the devotees. So here he's saying that I'm enlivened by that, and that enlivenment will produce me to write more and more. In the same way, when the response is not there, then the reciprocation also is not there. Okay, so these are some simple points on Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada's letters on the press. Any comments or questions? Yes? I see a few minds, I feel the minds are stirring for questions, but nobody's raising their hand. Question? No? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you. Now we will begin Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Canto 8, Chapter 24, text number 39. And we'll read up to 46 is the actual verse for today. Itam adishya rajanam hareya antaradiyata sovavaisata tam kalam yam rishikesha adishat itam adishya rajanam hare antaradiyata sovavaisata tam kalam. I'm sorry. Yam Rishikesha Adishad Itam Adishyam Rajanam Hare Antaradhiyata Sovavai Shatta Tam Kalam Yam Rishikesha Adishad Itam adishyam rajanam Hare antaradhiyata Sovavai shatatam kalam Yam rishikesham adishat I'm sorry. As aforementioned, adishya instructing rajanam, the king Satyavrata, harihi, the supreme personality of Godhead, antadadiyata, disappeared from that place. Sa, he, the king. Anvavaishita, began to wait for. Tamkalam, that time. Yam, which? Rishika Isha. Lord Rishikesh, the master of all the senses, Adishat, instructed. Translation. After thus instructing the king, the Supreme Personality of Godhead immediately disappeared. Then King Satyavrata began to wait for that time of which the Lord had instructed. So there's no purport, so we'll read the next few verses up to 46. This is text 40. Asritya darvam prakulam rajasi prakidumukam nishasada hare pado chintayam matsya rupinaha. After spreading Kusa with its points, with its tips pointing east, the saintly king, himself facing the northeast, sat down on the grass and began to meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who had assumed the form of a fish. Text 41. Tata samudram udvela sarvatam plavayanmani aham vardamano mahamegayar varsadbir samadrishyata. Translation. Thereafter, gigantic clouds pouring incessant water swelled the ocean more and more. Thus the ocean began to overflow onto the land and inundate the entire world. Text 42. Dhyayan Bhagavan adisham dadasre navam adgatam tamaruroho upendrayar adayasadi virudaha. As Satyavrata remembered the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he saw a boat coming near him. Thus he collected herbs and creepers, and accompanied by saintly brahmanas, he got aboard the boat. Text 43. Tam uchur munayo pritta raja daya svakesavam savaina sankatar asman anvitatsam vidasati. Translation again. The saintly brahmanas, being pleased with the king, said to him, O king, please meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Keshava. He will save us from the impending danger and arrange for our well-being. Text 44. Sonudyatastato rajahan pradurasim maharnave ekasringandaro machyoho haimmo niyuta yojanaha. Translation. Then, while the king constantly meditated upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a large golden fish appeared in the ocean of inundation. The fish had one horn and was 8 million miles long. Whoa. Try to catch that fish. Text 45. Nirbhadhya navam tach tringaye yatokyo harina pura varatrinna hina tusta tustava marusudanam. Translation. Following the instructions formally given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the king anchored the boat to the fish's horn, using the serpent Vasuki as a rope. Thus, being satisfied, he began to offer prayers to the Lord. Text 46. Sri Raja Uvacha Adaya Adanyava Vidyopatnam Ananyava Vinyopahatatma Samvidas Tamula Samsara Parisma Maturaham Yadrichayo Pasritayam Apoyan Vimuktidona Paraman Guru Bhavan. The king said, by the grace of the Lord, those who have lost their self-knowledge since time immemorial, and who because of this ignorance are involved in material conditional life full of miseries, attain the chance to meet the Lord's devotee. I accept that Supreme Personality of Godhead as the Supreme Spiritual Master. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually the Supreme Spiritual Master. The Supreme Lord knows everything about the sufferings of the conditioned soul, and therefore he appears in this material world, sometimes personally, sometimes by an incarnation, and sometimes by an authorized living being, to act on his behalf in all cases. In all cases, however, he is the original spiritual master who enlightens the conditioned souls who are suffering in the material world. The Lord is always busy helping the conditioned souls in many ways. Therefore, he is addressed here as Paramo Guru Bhavan, the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who acts to spread Krishna consciousness, is also guided by the Supreme Lord to act properly in executing the Lord's order. Such a person may appear to be an ordinary human being, but because he acts on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the spiritual master, he is not to be neglected as ordinary. It is therefore said, Acharya mam vinaya vijaniyat. An acharya who acts on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be understood to be as good as the Supreme Lord himself. Saksadare tun samastasastir utasthita ba yata eva sadvi kintu brabhur ya priya eva tasya bande guroshi charanhara vindam. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has advised that the spiritual master acting on behalf of the Supreme Lord must be worshipped as good as the Supreme Lord. For he is the Lord's most confidential servant in broadcasting the Lord's message for the benefit of the conditioned souls involved in the material world. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyanajana Silakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Swapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktarindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So here, series of verses wherein it's explained. King Satyavrata is praying now to the Lord, and he's offering a beautiful prayer that is full of meaning in terms of one's understanding of the principles of devotional life. The principles of devotional life centers around our relationship with Krishna. The soul is an eternal part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the soul has come to the material world, and from time immemorial, a living entity has been trying to enjoy matter. The soul cannot enjoy matter, just like a fish cannot live on a land. So the living entity suffers constantly, life after life, birth after birth, trying to enjoy something that is not enjoyable. When the soul finally comes to the point of realizing that this material world is not a place of enjoyment, he somewhat becomes open to try to understand higher truth or higher knowledge. He looks for something that will give him happiness, and gradually, by the grace of the Lord, he is led to the process of devotional service and to a representative of the Lord. This is explained that it usually takes many, many thousands and millions of births to actually come in contact with a process of pure devotional service and a contact with a bona fide representative who can give that process. So it is a very rare occasion that the living entity actually comes in contact with devotional service. It's not an ordinary thing. Don't think that this is just another spiritual movement or another religious movement to somehow or other worship God. It isn't. This movement of Krishna consciousness is the actual science of the relationship between the spirit soul and the supreme soul, God. And to perfect this science means to come back to one's natural position in relationship to God. It is not simply a pious religious process. It is the means for attaining one's perfection in life. And anything falling short of that attainment, the living entity will never feel satisfied until the living entity comes to this point of perfection in their relationship with God. So finally, after so many, many millions of lifetimes of suffering in this material world, we're given the opportunity to get out. It's a very, very rare occasion, and it's very, very... it is the indication of the Lord's special mercy upon that soul. And to take up the process of devotional service is the acceptance of the Lord's mercy upon that soul. Now, the process is that one cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. It's not possible. To try to approach the Supreme Lord directly from the conditioned soul who is covered by ignorance in this material world is like a child trying to catch the moon. When you see a child, sometimes they want to see the moon, or they want the moon. So it is impossible for a little child to grab the moon, but the child sees the moon and wants the moon. So the mother sometimes gives the child a mirror with the reflection of the moon in it, so he thinks he has the moon. But ultimately, understanding is that we cannot approach God directly. So God ranges